morning, everyone. Hey. I want to wish everyone a Pesach Sheni. Sameach Kasher. Second Pesach. What is special about this day? So if you will turn to page 170 of the Jerusalem Bible, it says, Shem said to Moshe, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be on a journey afar off, Pesach to Hashem on the 14th day of the second month, at evening they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it to the morning, nor break any bones of it. According to all the ordinances of the Pesach, they shall keep it. But the man that is clean is not on a journey, and fails to keep the Pesach, that person shall be cut off among his people, because he brought not the offering of Hashem in its appointed season. That man shall bear his sin, if a stranger shall sojourn among you, and will keep the Pesach to Hashem, according to the ordinance of the Pesach, according to its prescribed manner, so shall he do. You shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that is born in the land. So, this 14th day of Iyar, month after 14th of Nisan, comes in the period of counting the Omer. And we know counting the Omer, it's called the Omer, which was a specific measure of barley grain, then made into flour and offered. And barley is animal fodder. From that time we have to count until we come to the giving of the Torah, when the offering, the temple period, was made from wheat. Two loaves of bread. And this wheat is considered staple diet for human beings. And the truth is, when Am Yisrael went to Egypt, you know, to some extent like animals. I just recently read a report of the way in which the Allies found the Holocaust survivors at the time when they were victorious over the Nazis. They said many of the remnants who were left over, some described as zombies, not being able to come out of their stony stupor to which they've been subjected in a terrible manner through the camps, where they were starved almost to death and worked till their bodies collapsed. And some of them behaved like animals. That's how they were treated, like scum of the earth. So we can also imagine the terrible exploitation and cruelty of the Egyptians, who also subjected people of Israel at that time to become almost like animals. And then we had to raise ourselves up step by step to become more human, to restore the divine image in us, to receive the Torah, raised to the highest level. So, it's good to understand the significance of this day, little past the middle of the counting period, of the ladder that leads from the animalistic human being, yeah, the two-legged animal, and how he can be brought to the highest level. The person might say, well, I even missed the starting point. We were so low, we were not even able to bring the Korban Pesach. We were far removed, because this is the concept of the celebration of Pesach every year, is to reapply the lessons of the first Pesach every year according to the new conditions. Because the commandment that's given here, you can see it's connected even what we should do when we come into our land, when we're the land of Israel. When in the land of Israel we have a Beit HaMikdash, then you bring the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, then you count the days till Shavuot. That's how it was in the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, the second, and that's in Yitz Hashem, will also take place when we have the new Beit HaMikdash. And if we apply to this year, we don't have Beit HaMikdash, but we are fortunate to be close to the Makom HaMikdash. And we all like to experience the heights of closeness to Hashem by going to the Kotel. The sages say the Shekhinah never left and never will leave the Western Wall. It's already prophesied thousands of years ago. And that remains. So we have the place of the Mikdash. Words of God. The holiness of Shalayim in general, with all the yeshivot and all the Bate Knesset, that are all of them small Mikdash. But what happens to those Jews, to reapply what's written here in the Parsha of Pesach Sheni, who were far removed, Derech Rechoka, they were a chokim. They didn't. Some didn't even know about the Kotel. They only knew about Mount Everest. They didn't know about the Mount Moriah. And I found out today, which I didn't know in previous reports, the latest report is that although the Israeli, what do you call them, the Tamilaim, the people go with a pack on the back. What do you call them in English?
Backpackers.
They managed to reobtain connection with all the Israeli backpackers. But there's so many backpackers who come from other countries who are Jews. And from the different countries, they're asking, could the team from Israel was the biggest team of experts. Not many of the teams are going home. The Israeli ones are still there. And they say, well, we're getting requests from all over the world of Jews also. There are plenty of backpackers who come from many different countries, many of them are Jews. And not all of them have been traced, because they go to faraway places and they've disconnected themselves. So, now, they've been disconnected from their families for a long time, some of them. And they're all very worried what's happened to them. They managed to find one person, I think this is, I don't know if this is a Jew or not, but there was a boy who was buried underneath the building to the earthquake for 5 days, and he survived. They managed to pull him out. They said in the hospital, but they hoped that he'll survive. So there are many who b'derech rechoka. They're searching their roots, some of them, their spiritual roots, some of them regard it even as spiritual experience, a big adventure. Some of them will climb Everest. But they're far away from Yerushalayim. Derech rechoka. Rechokim. And then there are those who tome la nefesh, whose soul has become impure. There's so many Jews who become Buddhists, who followed all types of cults, which contain aspects of impurity. Unfortunately, some of them become Christians, also gone the wrong direction. And they may be quite near to the Kotel, quite near to Judaism. But unfortunately, they've been trapped by missionaries. We just had yesterday, Shabbos, which is amazing. When we know throughout the centuries of the Christian Inquisition and the Crusaders, there's so many instances in the Middle Ages where Jews were forced to come to a church and listen to the missionaries. Or when the missionaries came to the synagogues by force, and they forced all the Jews to listen to them, to become Christians. And anyone who's willing to become baptized, fine, you're free. It happened even in the Holocaust. There's more than one big episode related by survivors that certain missionaries came to the camps to the Jews and they said, listen, if you will now accept Christianity, give them a good long talk, if you'll accept it, we can get you out from this concentration camp here and now. There are many, many instances. And on the whole, the Jews, even those Jews who were completely assimilated, intermarried, they refused. So that we're not going to do. They preferred to stay in the death camps rather than become Christians. And that happened all through the ages. And here in Israel, on a Shabbat Kodesh, you had in Ranana 400 Jews baptized in a hall that they hired from the municipality. That actually happened yesterday here in Israel. Unbelievable. How can such a thing happen? Because of the infamous Court of Justice. There's no country in the world, as far as I know, where there is a situation that there's a government elected, generally speaking, democratically, and even if not democratically, there's a government, and then there's a High Court of Justice. And the High Court of Justice can nullify the laws of the parliament. That doesn't exist elsewhere. Only in Israel they invented this. And it's a disgrace. How can you have the majority that were voted in, to some extent we can say here in Israel, it's still basically democracy, have no say. The Supreme Court of Justice can nullify whatever is said by the members who are elected. And the judges of the Supreme Court of Justice are not elected. Not elected by the populace, oh no. They're elected by a group of judges. They're the ones who select the Supreme Court of Justice. That means lawyers who have different positions. They pass the law exams, they reach a high level, and they deal with customers. They're not elected people. They employ people. Yeah? People employ the lawyer. The lawyers reach a high and high level. The highest level go and elect the Supreme Court of judges. And they make the decisions. And they, in fact, there's more bribery, because, you know, here in Israel, we know vitamin P is that which is the main vitamin that keeps the country going.
Vitamin B.
Vitamin P.
P.
P. What is it?
Parnassa.
Pardon?
Parnassa?
No. Vitamin P. No, vitamin P.
P.
It's the main energy that allows things to be done here in Israel.
Protexia.
Protexia. It's called vitamin protexia.
Who you know?
To protect, you've got to know who's who. And who has the reins in his hands. Yeah.
In English, there's a better word.
Yes?
In English, they use the word...
Well, protexia is bribery.
Yeah.
It's bribery. We in the yeshiva, what challenges we've had are unbelievable. Because people used to tell me, you can only do it either through vitamin P, or what's just as bad, underhand giving over money. It's both forms of shochad, it's bribery. I mean, and the longest case in the history of the state of Israel against a so-called criminal who was put into jail because of it, and what was the basis of the prosecution? A person who was involved in those crimes that had to do with giving bribery. Yeah. So this person, in fact, he was committed for sin, fraud, in a European country. Had to be in prison there as well for a time. And then he gave testimony, what's called a state witness. That means the state said, well, in order to prosecute the others, we'd have to get witnesses. What bribery took place here. So they targeted certain people that they were going to incriminate, and then in order to support their prosecution, they took one of the criminals and they said, listen, if you will testify against the others, you won't be punished.
Yeah.
There's no bigger bribery than that. And that's used by our Supreme Court of Justice, so-called. It's pervert. And that's the situation here. And the Supreme Court of Justice said, if these people, the missionaries, they want to make a public baptism for 400 people, we give them permission to do it on Shabbos. And they did it on Shabbos. Of course, the rabbi, the people thought they're not going to do it, but then it turns out they did do it. So the rabbi said, close all the synagogues of Anana were closed. And all have to pray in the streets opposite this place. And pray to Hashem that such things will not happen again. And that's the situation. So this is a situation of Tomil and Nefesh. They're causing impurity to the soul of Israel. Who needs Christianity today, when the Christians themselves, the intelligent ones amongst them, don't believe it anymore. They recognize that it's an irrational doctrine. The God who is spirit, and understand, those who believe in a spiritual God, he doesn't descend down from heaven in the form of a human being. No such thing as the immaculate birth, or what it's called. It's irrational. And there's some very good Christians who still say, well, we have to preserve the moral principle of Christianity. But nearly all the intelligent Christians, they believe in Unitarian concept. You don't want to go and do baptism in public. I mean, whether you think by sprinkling a few water on somebody, thereby he becomes changed. And we know that the missionaries, they especially manipulate people who have emotional problems and a weak character, so they go about it. And it's called some sections of Christianity who forbid them to do things of this nature. But the Baptists and some of the evangelists, they say, you know, thereby we're redeeming them. So, if a person, let's say he was caught by them, they're on Pesach time when they work hard, and he realizes when he comes to this day that he was wrong, so he can now purify himself. He can bring the second Pesach. Well, let's apply to our times. He can re-establish his unity with Am Yisrael. But in general also, let me speak about this national situation in Israel, although it's very remarkable the way things are occurring during this year, many different unusual situations have arisen that are hinted at in the words of the Tanakh of the Bible, as we've already seen a few times. But there's a general teaching here. Hashem would always give a second chance. If you weren't able to do it then, do it now. If you did a chukah or tamil nefesh, you can always change. There's some people, the derech is not chukah, they're not so far removed. They've learned the Bible, they've learned things about Judaism, but they allow impurities to enter into their lives through the power of assimilation, so they can become purified. And there's so many others, they're just far removed. So I think this is the joint lesson of Pesach Sheni and the different customs, whether you should eat matzah or not eat matzah, but it's quite widespread. It makes it a bit more concrete to provide a few matzahs also for lunchtime, for today. And especially they do it at lunchtime because the Korban Pesach had to be brought at night. And since they're also eating the matzah, the main duty of eating the matzah is the nighttime. That's why it is not customary to eat matzah at night, only in the day. And let us hope that Yitzhak Hashem, since we haven't been redeemed yet, was not in this place of Sheni, but there's a question raised. I suppose you will remember on the Pesach night, the Seder, we first made a bracha on the matzah and ate it by itself. Then on the maror and ate it by itself. And then we do a karicha, like hillel. What's that called?
Sandwich.
A sandwich. Why is it called a sandwich in English? Because there was a Lord Sandwich who lived quite a few hundred years ago in England, who introduced the custom of having slices of bread, two slices of bread, in the middle you put a little bit of meat. That's called a meat sandwich. Because he was the one who introduced this diet to the British people. But really, he wasn't the first one to introduce a sandwich. It should really be called a hillel. Why should it call the hillel? Sandwich. Why a hillel?
Because he was the first who invented it.
Yeah. We take Koyre, Pesach, Matzo Maro, in his time, still a bit amikdash, they took together two slices of matzah, and in between he put some of the meat from the Korban Pesach and also some of the maror, because it says because of the verse written here, It brings the verse in Pesach Sheni, where it says, how do you do it? Amatzot morim yofluhu. They should eat the common Pesach together with matzahs and morah. How do you eat the three together? Make a sandwich. So Hillel did this. And in Zeichel and Mikdash Kila, we do it today. Look to remind us what Hillel used to do. So, the question people ask, if you look in the Haggadah of Pesach, it's Pesach Rishon. The Haggadah of Pesach, we reenact the night of the Seder, of which date? 14th of Nisan. But the verse which is brought in the Haggadah on the 14th, on the night after the 14th of Nisan, the night of the Seder, is taken from Pesach Sheni, taken from this verse in front of us, which I quoted. If you look on 170 of the Jerusalem Bible. So why don't they choose the verse written in the 12th chapter of Shemois, where it also says you should eat? It doesn't say it in the same manner, you should eat, like it says here, that you should eat al matzos and morodim, but it says you should eat li'eshu matzos al morodim yoflu. It's also got the pasuk there. But it be roasted meat, and you should eat it, roasted meat, in addition to the matzah and the maror. So why did it occur in this verse? It's only Pesach Sheni. Can you suggest an answer? I'll tell you an interesting answer. There's a question. What happens today on the first Pesach? We say, Lashon Abo B'Yerushalayim. Next year we'll be Yerushalayim. This year we can't celebrate it in the right manner. We hope next year we'll be able to celebrate it with the Beit HaMikdash. And we'll actually bring a Korban Pesach. That's what we pray for. What happens if the Mashiach comes? Unfortunately, didn't come this time. He comes after Pesach.
Oh.
And then, no, it's easy to find out where exactly where you can bring the concrete. All to come purified. Are we permitted to bring the Pesach Sheni? In other words, we didn't have a Pesach Rishon. Do we have a Pesach Sheni? What does the Chumash say if there was a case where there was a Pesach Rishon for everybody, and the people were impure or were far away in Honolulu or in America somewhere, they couldn't reach Jerusalem, then they can bring the Pesach Sheni? So what happens if the whole of Am Yisrael couldn't bring the Pesach Rishon? It could have happened to earlier generations as well. Then are they allowed to bring the Pesach Sheni? If there was no possibility, there was no Beit HaMikdash, there was no Mashiach, so we couldn't celebrate the first Pesach in the Beit HaMikdash, wasn't there. But then Mashiach comes, then you get all the biggest builders in the world to help to build the Beit HaMikdash. And by the time, the beginning of Iyar, we already have the second Beit HaMikdash. The third Beit HaMikdash, so the third Beit HaMikdash is already up, the Mashiach is there. Do we then celebrate Pesach on the 14th of Iyar? 14th. What's it in?
On the 14th of Iyar?
Yes, today. Yeah. Today. Let's say Mashiach would have come 2 weeks ago.
Vavadai?
Vavadai, yes. Pesach Sheni?
Vavadai.
Yes, you say yes.
If it comes in between Pesach Rishon and Sheni,
yeah,
we didn't have to make the first Pesach, we have to make the second one.
Well, it's a question. Maybe there's only a Pesach Sheni where there was really a Pesach Rishon, only a person missed it.
Yeah.
Because it says ish. It says ish, the individual.
Yeah.
It was Tamil Nefesh or Derech Rukal Achem.
I see.
Yeah? So he couldn't bring it. bring the first one, he brings in the second one. What happens when nobody could bring it, but didn't exist? It's a question of the Poskim, but some say, for that reason, when we do quote it, Zeche Levitus Kehillel, he quotes from Pesach Sheni to tell us that you can do it, like you said. They want to make a proof. Why? Because we hope when we're having a Leila Seder today, there's no Beit HaMikdash. It's a Zeche HaMikdash, a commemoration of what Hillel used to do. So we think to ourselves, well, when can we do it again? Well, we might be able to do it in a month's time, if the Mashiach comes. That's why it quotes this one. Okay, any questions?
So the difference between the Egyptian experience and the Holocaust, the Egyptian experience was to build storehouses, pyramids, to utilize. The Holocaust had one aim, extermination. But I want to ask a different halacha question.
But, when there came a decree and they said every baby that's born has got to be drowned in the Nile, so they were also out for extermination. It's true, they used them also for slave labor, as the Nazis also did. The Nazis had the Jews slaving away to strengthen
to death.
Them.
To death.
No, but also death. Building stuff, building railways.
They only gave them enough food to live until a new supply of Jews came in. So that it was only extermination. But I want to ask a lot of questions. You mentioned missionaries coming into the concentration camp and saying you could be freed immediately if you accept Christianity. Could you accept verbally, but not in your heart, as Moranos did? In order to live, to be a Jew later on.
Well, it's a...
You're just going to say it. You're just going to say
were,
it. With
there were
lips.
Jews who say themselves that way. Many.
Is it? Yeah. Okay.
Is that halachically okay?
Huh? What?
Is that halachically okay?
You think
because probably
most of the rabbonim said you shouldn't do it. But it didn't put pressure on it. It didn't put pressure on it. It's just... Times is too difficult.
The halacha is you should not verbalize it?
No. But still, you know, each situation, you should, a rav will have to consider each situation, what to tell the people. But, many instances there are that when they saw they really wanted in this way to capture the Jews, that's what happened. It happened not only in the concentration camps, it happened very much in the time of the Inquisition.
Right, so the Moranos...
Moranos were all based on this principle. We've got no choice. In secret, we'll carry on as Jews. In public, we'll make up we're Christians.
So that was accepted. That was a proper objective to live as a Jew.
Yeah. No, it's not a simple matter. But many Jews gave up their lives rather than the whole communities here. It's discussed widely in the Poskim what people should do. In fact, that even there are different records of some of the great, even Jewish leaders. Maybe for a certain time they kept the Judaism hidden in order to save their lives and used all different methods. Also in the time of the Holocaust, there were many like that. kept it. They tried not to declare anything openly that they were Christians, but they hid their Judaism also in many, many false ways. Keep it hidden. They should be able to escape. Any other questions?
This is a very interesting thing, because you informed us of this horrible news about the 400 people who got unfortunately somehow under this procedure of so-called baptized.
Yes.
And you asked rhetorically, where is such a thing that people sprinkle water and they change?
Mm-hmm.
But didn't they take it from our holy Torah?
Of course they did. Of course they did. They take it. The initial baptism was not to sprinkle water, it was to become immersed in water.
Uh-huh.
Tevila. Just like a non-Jew becomes Jewish through Tevila.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. But also we say, let's say a non-Jew becomes Jewish through immersion in the mikvah.
Yeah.
And he doesn't believe in keeping the Torah,
uh-huh,
then it's worthless.
It's worthless. Oh.
Yeah. It's worthless. There's no Kabbalat mitzvot. It's a complete farce. And also a person thinks that the tevila really helps for it's got a subconscious impact. Yeah, it's like a complete tevila has certain parallels subconsciously to the concept of rebirth, becoming reborn, as it were. So, but not that a person is, that Mori uses the term, tovel v'sheretz v'yado. If he's got the source of impurity in his hand, he does tevila, it doesn't help at all. So if a person intends to keep on with his sinfulness, in one way or another, or intends going in the mikveh, and then he doesn't do teshuvah, he's clinging still to his previous sins, it's also tovel v'sheretz v'yado. That's the phrase used in the Gemara.
I believe there was a protest last night of the Haredim. Has that got to do with the Ranana episode?
Which aspect?
Last night,
yeah.
I believe there was a protest in town. The Haredim protested.
What, here in Yerushalayim?
I wonder if that's could got be. To do with the Ranana.
Could be. Could well be.
We sprinkle the waters of the red cow.
Yes.
In order to make someone who is impure from the dead, to make him pure from the...
Yeah.
With the only difference that the sprinkler becomes himself impure. This is very sophisticated there.
The corruption...